to the Inside Spanish Football Podcast. A little bit of a twist on this week's podcast. We're leaving the La Liga action and we're taking a look at the three teams who are in Champions League action this week. Don't worry though, we'll be back on Monday night to review all of the upcoming weekend's La Liga fixtures. And then, of course, next Thursday as well to look at the second legs of the ties we're about to talk about now. Joining me and the only guest we've got on the show tonight is Joseph Walker. Joe, how are you, mate? You okay?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Feeling all lonely, but no.
Just me and you, mate.
Yeah, just the two of us.
Good week of Champions League football. It always is whenever Europe's top club competition is in action. And a good week for all three Spanish sides. Would you agree?
Yeah, most definitely. Firstly, it's really good to have the Champions League back. It makes midweeks bearable again when you're kind of just waiting for the weekend to come around. And yeah, I think it was good. Obviously, you'd say Real Madrid would be by far the happiest of the three sides, understandably so. Barcelona, with two away goals in Paris, aren't exactly in a bad position either. And Malaga seemed to do what their coach suggested they were going to do pre-match, and that was hold Borussia Dortmund to a 0-0 draw.
Superb. Well, we'll start on Tuesday night in Paris. A lot of controversy going into the game about Zlatan Ibrahimovic facing his former club after his ban was reduced. Do you think that he should have been involved in the game?
Well, yes, as in it makes it a better spectacle. And also, this is quite an interesting thing as well. Nani, who got red carded against Real Madrid in the previous round, a direct red card, he has received a suspension, which is only going to be one game. So, you know, UEFA have to be consistent in their decisions and their decision making. And it was either Nani would have to have had a longer ban or Ibrahimovic would have had to have had a shorter one if they were going to be seen to be consistent. And I think that's what PSG probably argued in their case. And just as a player, he is, you know, we all know he is a very, very good player. And to make the match more of a spectacle, it was very good to see him on the team.
Superb. Well, he had a lot of impact on the game. We'll touch on his impact shortly. Strange decision from Ancelotti to include David Beckham in the lineup, or do you think he warranted a start given his experience?
I think it was strange, given the fact he's nearly 38, by far the oldest player on the pitch, but as you said, the most experienced player on the pitch as well. The reporters on the TV seem to suggest they'd spoken to Ancelotti's backroom staff, who said the reason Beckham was starting was because of his experience. And I don't think he did a bad job. I know I read that L'Equipe gave him a 3 out of 10 and basically just massacred him. I can't really see what game they were watching, but they only gave Thiago Silva an 8 out of 10 as well. And he was by far the best player on the pitch for me. I think Beckham held his own. I think he did all right. I don't think he could have lasted any more than he did on the pitch. I think he came off after about 70 minutes and he really did look as if he was on his last legs. So, yeah, I think why not give him a start? I'll be surprised if he plays in the new Camp thing.
Fantastic. They had a good start to the game, PSG, but obviously Barcelona turned on the style with Lionel Messi scoring 10 minutes before the break. Great goal, wasn't it? Dani Alves with a superb assist.
Yeah, it was just a phenomenal goal. I think Barca, they had a corner, didn't they? And it got sort of semi-cleared out to Alves, who wasn't closed down quick enough. And that ball that he put into Messi was just, you know, a gorgeous ball with the outside of the right boot. And obviously when the magician gets in that kind of position, there's only going to be one outcome.
For all of Dani Alves' critics, and he has quite a lot, when him and Lionel Messi combine, it's something brilliant to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, it's poetry in motion, as one might say. It is brilliant. Dani Alves, you know, obviously has his defensive question marks, and rightly so, because he's not the most defensive right back in the world. I think we can both agree on that one. But going forward, he is a threat. He's basically an additional attacking player in the team. And when he puts in ball, I thought he was actually quite good all night. I don't think he did much wrong. And that was kind of the icing on the cake, that assist.
And then following the opening goal, we have this dramatic injury to Lionel Messi. It turned out to be just 10 days, and he could feature in the second leg. What did you make of all that? There were some people saying on Twitter and reports that it was 3 or 4 weeks, and then, of course, it's only 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, I guess you never kind of know with muscle injuries if you're not there and able to assess what's happened. It just looked as if he twinged it, and obviously Barcelona didn't want to risk him any longer. I read they released an official statement, Barcelona, a bit cryptic official statement, but from what you could deduce, it's quite likely that he'll be back to play against PSG next week. But I basically think that quite a lot was made of it because of who he is rather than because of what the nature of the injury was. He could well be back. If he's not, then I don't think it's the end of the world for Barcelona. I think they know how to play without him. It was the first time he'd been subbed at halftime since something like 2006, and the sort of first injury he's had in X number of years. I can't really remember him being out injured too much.
You touched on them coping without Lionel Messi, and they did that quite well, didn't they, up until sort of when Ibrahimovic scored with 15 minutes remaining.
Yeah, I thought they contained PSG quite well. PSG didn't have too many clear-cut chances. Obviously, they hit the post in the first few minutes, but that was by the by. It was kind of, I think, Busquets came in with a last-ditch tackle that happened to go onto the post. They coped really well, and PSG didn't really look like they were going to score. And then, obviously, they did score. Ibra was standing in a slightly offside position. I say slightly, he was very much offside. I think that everyone apart from the linesman could see that he was offside, but that's a different thing. And I think that PSG's performance, maybe not in terms of quality in the attacking third, but their persistence and perseverance merited that goal.
Superb. And then, of course, Barcelona go down the other end, and Alexis Sanchez is brought down by the goalkeeper, Sarugo. Do you think that was a penalty, or do you think...
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. It was one of the most idiotic challenges I've ever seen by the goalkeeper, given where Alexis is, where he's going.
It's a strange one, isn't it? Because when the attacker takes that move to the left or the right, depending on what side he is of the goal, he's not going anywhere, is he? And then it's almost too late for the keeper to duck out of the challenge.
Well, yeah, it's, keeper had committed, but yeah, you have to kind of ask questions. Why was the keeper going for that? Why was the keeper going to go for that? Because you look at Alexis's touch, the ball actually goes out of play for a goal kick. He was just, I think Alexis knew exactly what he was doing and just kind of sort of saw the goalkeeper coming out. He saw what could happen, and, you know, he's managed to execute it perfectly, essentially. So I think that it was a penalty. Goalkeeper needs to hold his hand up, and I think Mr. Ancelotti might have been quite cross with him after the game as well, because it was stupid, so stupid. One of my friends who supports Real Madrid actually said to me, you know, what's the goalkeeper doing? It's Alexis Sanchez. Even if he had an open goal, he wouldn't have scored anyway.
Well, Xavi stepped up to convert a really cool penalty and a very important second away goal for Barcelona. But then, of course, PSG come forward once more and showed that persistence that you talked about. And Matuidi's strike was a bit of a wounder for Barcelona, wasn't it, so late on?
Yeah, given the timing of it, it was quite, as you say, it was quite a wounder, quite a stab. I think given the sort of the quality of the goal, with it being from a long ball, a kind of mishit pot shot that then takes, you know, deflection. Valdez you know, it didn't look pretty when Valdez was attempting to change direction and go for it as well. So it was a wound in the fact that it was the last kick of the game and it's given PSG some impetus. And it's also made the tie that little bit more interesting for the new camp, because I think PSG now will go into it with a different attitude. They will know that PSG will know that they can put goals past Barcelona, and the fact that it's 2-2 gives them sort of a lot more impetus to go forward and try and nick that away goal.
Do you see PSG going through, or is it Barcelona going to be too strong at home?
No, I think that Barcelona are going to be too strong at home. I do, but I think that PSG might score, because Barcelona aren't the greatest team defensively, as has been illustrated. You know, they got these injuries in the game as well. They had Javier Mascherano, who's basically been ruled out for the rest of the season, who has been playing at centre-back. So that leaves them extremely short of numbers there. So I think that they might be able to take advantage of that with the attacking quartet that they've got. Ibra, Lavezzi, Pastore and Lucas Moura, who I thought was very good for sort of 75 minutes. I think that they will fancy their chances of scoring, but you just can't ever bet against Barcelona in their own place.
Superb. Well, away from Barcelona and on to the other game on Tuesday night, Bayern Munich beat Juventus 2-0. Joe, just quickly touching on this one. Bayern Munich scored 9, I think, in the game, in the Bundesliga game before this one, and cruised to a 2-0 victory against Juventus, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Bayern Munich are a fantastic squad. They've got a fantastic centre-forward in Mandzukic, who, from what I saw of the highlights, played very well. Raphael Honigstein wrote an article about this one-man pressing system that they operate, and he just doesn't stop running up front. You know, they've got a very good set of midfielders, young midfielders. Toni Kroos, who came off injured, I believe, who will be a big miss for them. He's an outstanding player. Müller obviously got the goal. We all saw what he could do at the last World Cup when he sort of single-handedly destroyed England. And they got, you know, someone like Arjen Robin and Jordan Shaqiri to come off the bench aren't bad backup options. And they just sort of outclassed Juventus, really, didn't they? They just sort of put pain to anything that people were saying, oh, Juve, they'll go there, they might defend, they might nick a goal. Juventus didn't even, barely looked like they were going to score. And when the magical Gigi Buffon plays like he does, you know that it's not going to be your night.
Of course, Bayern got to the final last year, defeated by Chelsea. But they beat Real Madrid in the semi-finals. They've beaten the majority of teams this year already. Do you think they've learnt their lesson from that final last season? Do you think they can go on and win this?
Well, yeah, I do. I think they obviously had a lot of pressure going into the final last season, given it was in Munich. I also think that it was one of those finals where it was one of the most one-sided finals that you'll ever see, even though Chelsea somehow managed to come out on top. But I think that Jupp Heynckes will have learned from that. I think that the squad of players hurt quite a lot. They've got a big, thick German core, and the fact that the Germans went out in Euro 2012 to Italy probably motivated them quite a lot against Juventus as well. I think that they could go all the way. I don't know whether they'd win it. It would obviously depend on the opponents, but I think that they've certainly got a great chance of progressing now. And, you know, I could imagine them possibly taking Real Madrid over two legs again, but I don't know if they would beat a full-strength Barcelona team.
It's crazy to think, isn't it, Joe, that if this Bayern Munich team go on to win the Champions League, Pep Guardiola's going to walk through the front door come the summer.
Yeah, that'd be a nice present, wouldn't it? It'd be, welcome, we're the European champions. And, you know, it could be kind of horrible to think, it'd be horrible to think, you know, they're getting this brilliant, young, sought-after coach in world football. But it also puts a lot of pressure on Pep. Should Bayern Munich go on to win the Champions League this year? What does that say to Pep? Does he have to better that? How is he going to better the season that they've had this season? They're absolute runaway leaders in the German league. They are potentially going to be getting to a final, winning a champ. They're definitely going to be in the semi-finals of the Champions League. So he's going to have an uphill task to kind of maintain this form that they've shown. So I think it'll be a good challenge.
Fantastic. Well, moving on to Wednesday night, and we'll touch on Borussia Dortmund, who faced our beloved Malaga. Malaga, the fairy tale story of the Champions League so far this season. A goalless draw at La Rosaleda, but the German side were all over Manuel Pellegrini's Malaga. Joe, lucky to get away with a 0-0 here, weren't they, Malaga?
Yeah, from what I've seen of the game, they were very lucky. They're lucky that Mr. Götze didn't have his didn't bring his shooting boots with him on the flight, because from all accounts, he has been banging those kind of opportunities in for fun all season. You know, we've seen him play a few occasions in the group stages against Real Madrid. He was outstanding, really good young talent who has a massive future ahead of him. But Malaga somehow managed to cling on and get a result that I think that they were looking for, because pre-match, all Pellegrini sort of went on about was how they wanted to stop Dortmund from scoring, that that was their main objective, and that they might look to nick an away goal and go through like that. It was an interesting point that I read online was Villarreal, when Pellegrini took them all the way to the semi-finals in 2006, that was a philosophy that he employed quite a lot. At home, he would just contain the other team. He would make sure that they didn't score. If they got a goal, great, but it wasn't the end of the world. And then he'd set them up to go away and to try and nick through on the away goals rule. So they've got every chance of going through, although judging by the performance the other night, if Dortmund were that strong away from home, I think that they can only get stronger at home.
Brilliant. It seems to be shaping up for German teams and Spanish teams in the semi-finals, doesn't it? Do you think that's a sign of the times? They both seem to be excelling, don't they?
Yeah, they do. You know, they're elite clubs. Your Barcelona's, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Dortmund just have incredible squads. It's a telling sign as well that no British team, Celtic obviously got through to the round before this when they met their match in Juventus, but it's quite a telling sign that there are no British teams in the Champions League that are going to be in the Champions League semi-finals. There weren't any in the quarterfinals. And the way that the game has evolved in Spain and particularly Germany of late, it's quite telling. I think that it bodes well for both the domestic leagues. And I think it can sort of give a lesson to English teams and the way that they need to develop and approach their ideas and the way that they target the competition.
Just touching on Malaga once more, should they go out in the second leg next week, where do they go from here? Do the likes of Isco remain at the club? Do they try and push for the fourth place? What does the future hold for them?
Well, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because they don't know if they're going to be allowed to compete in Europe or not next season. I think that they probably will be able to compete in Europe, especially if they finish in fourth place. I think there'd be all sorts of outcry if they weren't allowed to go into the Champions League. But yeah, I think that they'd have to obviously pick themselves up from the disappointment of being knocked out. But having said that, they were never expected to get this far, I don't think. Especially after losing against Porto in the first game of the last knockout round, I think everyone kind of thought, oh, well, you know, it's been nice, but this is it. But they've managed to get through. However, they probably met their match in Dortmund and they would need to just concentrate on the league and finish fourth. I've said that I probably fancy Valencia to finish fourth given the strength of their squad. But you would like to see people like Isco and Wellington stay around. Whether they do is another question, because obviously Isco's just got this new contract with a convenient buyout clause of about 35 million, quite a few teams monitoring him. So they would do well to hang on to him. Whether they can, I don't know. I hope so. I really do hope so. And I would like them to finish fourth and go into the Champions League again, because some of the football they've played is mesmerising. But it just remains to be seen whether they can or not.
Fantastic, mate. Well, the final game, the final quarter-final, was, of course, Real Madrid versus Galatasaray. Galatasaray were all talk going into this one about how they were going to put up their own, if you like, at the Bernabeu and then introduce Real Madrid to what they call hell next week in the second leg. But 3-0 to Real Madrid. Fantastic performance from them. Fantastic performance from the front three, Ronaldo, Benzema and Higuain, all on the score sheet. Joe, this was just a brilliant performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty much a complete performance, albeit they were helped with the fact Galatasaray didn't really turn up. They didn't pose much of a threat going forward. I think there was one chance when it was 1-0 to Madrid and Drogba managed to roll Varane on the edge of the box and he fired over. But apart from that, it was quite a comfortable evening for them. They looked a threat going forward. Di Maria was quite lively, I thought, as well. Obviously, Ronaldo got his goal. Benzema got a much-needed confidence boost as well, albeit the defending was questionable on all of the goals. They are comfortably through, definitely, I think. And obviously, there was Cardgate scandal, Mark II, which is kind of, but it kind of rounded off the complete performance because they won 3-0. And then, you know, Alonso and Ramos got themselves booked. So they'll miss the second leg, go into the semi-finals with a clean slate because I don't think that they're going to need either of those two players to play in Istanbul.
Well, seeing as you've brought that up, we'll touch on that now. Do you agree with using that as a method of sort of delaying the suspension or overcoming the suspension?
Yes, I do. I think, well, it's not against the rules. That's probably the crucial thing. It's more of it's bending the rules in your favour rather than breaking them. I think that, football, you have to take whatever advantage you can get. And as much as it's not in the spirit of the game, if that was your team and they were kind of two of your best players, you would want them to do exactly the same thing and you would be pleased if they'd done that. For example, if Barcelona were winning 3-0 in their Champions League tie and Messi got himself a yellow card to miss the second leg so he was fresh for the semis, I don't think many people would complain. But I think also the fact that Mourinho and Madrid court controversy has probably made it into more of a story than it actually is.
Mourinho going into this one was very critical of Benzema and Higuain, who really have been a shadow of what they were last season, haven't they? But both of them on the score sheet, and his harsh words seem to have done the trick, don't they?
Yeah, well, Mourinho is, sort of this brilliant motivator. He manages to get the best out of his players. You know, players even with limited abilities have managed to do well under him. And he's, sort of gone about it, some might say, not the right way, but it seems to actually have been the right way, publicly criticising players. Generally provides a reaction, and they've both proved now, here I am, boss, you can rely on me, I'll score the goals, and they both scored. I thought Benzema actually had his best game for a while. Again, he was aided by some quite shoddy defending on the goal. Mr. Eboué, once of Arsenal, for some reason ducking under a cross, which is pretty inexplicable. And Higuain's goal was a brilliant header. I think that they need to build on it. Obviously, it's easy to score when the going's good and when the team you're playing haven't really turned up. It's in the crucial games where your backs are against the wall and you need a goal at an important moment. That's when you see the best players step forward. And Ronaldo and Messi have done that on countless occasions, but Benzema and Higuain haven't. So I think Mourinho is probably going to be looking for more from them, but this is a good start.
Fantastic. Real Madrid favourites, do you think now with that performance for the whole tournament?
The whole tournament again. Wouldn't say favourites for the whole tournament, just on the fact that they've beaten probably, with the exception of Malaga, the weakest team left in the tournament quite comfortably. I think that they stand a very good chance of getting to the final, although if they get Barcelona over two legs they might be halted. But again, that's another story for another day. I would quite like to see them win it, just because it, you know, sounds horrible. It's been a while, and the fact that the press have been going on about it so much, it would kind of give Mourinho a nice swan song and a nice goodbye from Real Madrid. I also think that they are vulnerable. And obviously, if you set up and play attacking football against them, they have a brilliant counter-attacking side. But we saw with Ferguson and Old Trafford, the way that you handle Real Madrid. And until Nani's sending off, they looked like they were going to go through United. So I don't think that they're favourites for the tournament per se, but you wouldn't bet against them. But I guess if I had to put money on a side winning it, I would still go with Barcelona.
Superb. Well, just one more question I wanted to ask you about, and it's about Iker Casillas. Of course, he wasn't Jose Mourinho said he wasn't fit enough to travel. Diego Lopez, another clean sheet, another good performance. What do you see happening there?
Well, no one knows what goes on in the mind of Mr. Mourinho. It's a wonderful thing. But, you know, as you've touched on, you can't actually pick a lot of faults with Diego Lopez's game. He's done extremely well when required. He's done well in the big games. And Mourinho came out and said, well, I actually don't have a reason to drop him. And it would be unfair of me as a coach just to make way to bring Iker back into the team. Obviously, there's politics there. There's the politics of the Spanish press saying, this is disgusting. How can Iker not be in the team? But then there's the politics of Mourinho and Casillas having history. So I don't know how it's going to pan out. I think that Casillas will eventually be back in the side. I don't think that the club would allow Madrid to kind of get to a Champions League final and Casillas not be in the starting lineup. Even though Mourinho's his own man, I think that had caused a lot of uproar. He will be back in the team, no doubt. He's Spain's number one goalkeeper. And even if it's in a couple of games time, if, say, Diego Lopez makes a mistake, or if Diego Lopez lets in a couple of goals that might not even be his fault, there's just going to be immense, immense pressure to bring Casillas back into the team. But as Carranca said in his press conference, you know, Casillas, he's not had any match practice for a while, and you can't just throw him in at the deep end, because that would also be unfair on Iker, albeit he's an experienced keeper. You can't just throw someone back in having not played in, what is it, 5-6 weeks.
Superb. As we just head off to end the podcast, give us your 4 semi-finalists, Sanjay.
I'm going to be not so bold in saying Real, Barca, excuse me, Bayern Munich, and I might go a bit left field and say Malaga. Just if they can get a goal, well, it doesn't really matter what time they get the goal against Dortmund, but if they can score in the first half against Dortmund, then we'll really see what Dortmund are all about, and if all the fuss that so-called football hipsters make about them, if they're really worth all the fuss, or if they're just, you know, another kind of nearly team but not quite. I'll put my neck on the line and say I fancy Malaga to get a result, even though it's very, very unlikely, and my head says no, my heart says yes, and I would like them to.
Superb. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight, Joe. Obviously, hopefully you'll be back on next week to touch on the La Liga action from the weekend coming up.
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. If people want to sling some questions at you or get in touch with you, where can they go, mate? Can they follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, they can. Joe, that JOE_IN_ESPANA is my Twitter handle. I can be found on there frequently, sending my thoughts to the
Fantastic.
World.
Fantastic. Of course, you can give us a follow on at Inside La Liga, or visit the website www.insidespanishfootball.com. We'll have all the action from this weekend in La Liga, and then, of course, all the action from the Champions League next week. But until then, it's thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.